I don't know of many people that don't like a good magic trick, right? Making the impossible seem possible allows us to think beyond what we know to be real and forces it, at least for a little bit, to change our mind of reality and think of it in a new way. Now, I have never, well, I should say this, yesterday was the first time that I ever tried to perform a magic trick in public. So I'm going to try it again today. So what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to make a knot appear in this rope. Okay, so here we go. One, two, three. One more time. One, two, three. Wait. Forgot my magic wand. All right, try it again. One, two, three. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I know that I'm not a skilled magician and that I probably didn't fool many people with that trick. But maybe for some of you I did. Maybe for a split second I really did convince you that I made a knot appear in that rope. And if I did, I did it through theatrics and diversion, right? Now, this is just a harmless little fun magic trick. But in the real world, this is exactly the thing that Satan tries to do to us by keeping our hearts, by using diversion to keep our hearts and our minds from what really matters. C.S. Lewis is a name that many will recognize even though they may not be familiar with his work. Now, arguably, the work that gets the most recognition is the Chronicles of Narnia, right? The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Lewis was a prolific writer with many fine books and essays well worth the time to read. Not only was Lewis a devoted Christian, he was also a well-known scholar and lay theologian who seemed to have a keen knowledge of the human psyche. During World War II, Lewis wrote a series of essays for a magazine in which the premise was a senior deacon named Screwtape writing to his underling nephew, Wormwood. The essays were collected and made into a book called The Screwtape Letters. If you have never read this book, a little different reading because it was written 80 years ago, but well worth the time. It's not a real big book. Well worth the time and worth the read. The letters highlight ways in which Satan keeps us from coming to know the truth that there is a creator God and that we, you and me, are loved by God simply because we are. One of the tactics that is used by Wormwood to get his patient interested in philosophies and theories that keep his mind focused on the future rather than the present. Get him involved in causes that keep his mind distracted with all kinds of political and social noise so that he doesn't have time to think on eternal truths such as beauty, goodness, and grace. Now, even though this was written 80 years ago, it sounds kind of really familiar with what's going on in our world right now, and I think that should be a concern for many of us. Most of us are so distracted with events going on around us that we are drifting farther and farther away from what really matters. Looking out into the rows of empty pews tells me a lot about where our focus is right now. So what should we be focused on right now? When challenged by the Pharisees about what is important, Jesus does not launch into some dialogue about religion, politics, or societal issues. No, he says two things: love God and love your neighbor. This is Jesus' response after two competing groups, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, kind of keep huddling together trying to come up with questions to trap Jesus about his stance on various issues. In a sense, in this response, Jesus is trying to get the groups to release their grip on what lies at the periphery, get focused on what lies at the center. So where is our center right now? I think that for the majority of people, the focus is on two things: the current coronavirus and the election. Why is most everyone fixated on these two things? Well, mostly because we are being told to fixate on those two things. Much like a magician uses misdirection to keep your attention away from what is really happening, there are not many who can escape the bombardment of what to believe and why. Please do not misunderstand what I am saying. Both of these topics are very important and deserve our attention, but not at the expense of what lies at the heart of our belief. Love God and love your neighbor. One of the things that I see happening in our culture is a rise in anger and hate. Now, let me rephrase that. Anger and hate are always present, but I hear more people openly talk about hating others than I have in the past. As we push God farther and farther out of the public square, the prevailing force becomes secular humanism, in which the belief that human beings are the ones who are in control. Humans are capable of building a utopian society. In order to achieve that end, structures and institutions become the vehicles to enact the change needed to bring about that perfect society. When the structures and institutions do not produce the desired results, anger and hate come to the surface. It is the belief that if we work from the top down, we make a perfect world. As followers of Christ, however, we believe that we start with the heart and build from there. Love God and love your neighbor. But we need to have inner freedom and able to be able to focus on loving God and loving our neighbor.
Remember that the tactics of Satan's rely on keeping good people distracted so they do not have the time to focus on what is true, right, and just. Being trapped in an endless cycle of things to be worried about keeps us from being able to know the love of God and then to be able to share it with others. There is a reason that the phrase "do not worry" shows up in Scripture over 350 times. Worry is a barrier to experience the love of God, and if we don't experience the love of God in our own lives, how can we share it with others? And say, do what is necessary to shed some of the distractions that are beyond your control. If needed, turn off the TV, put down the phone or tablet, turn off the computer, and find ways of connecting with God. The dismissal today is going to be, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Indeed, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and then find ways of sharing that love of God with your neighbor.